she'd drawn. But she never missed a day. So the stationery was a great idea, though she wouldn't be using it when I went away to college. I decided to stay home. Yet another thing neither Lily nor I had mentioned to my mom yet. I looked at my watch. You ready to get going?
I am.
You two be careful, Mom said. She turned to Lily. Enjoy your visit with your mom. If today was anything like most days with Rose, there was about a 50-50 shot of that happening. A psychiatric center might be a hospital, but it's a hell of a lot different than the place you go when someone has a baby or something, or at least this one was. The white walls were bare, with no cheerful art or framed pictures to soften the hardness of the environment. Since the floor we were visiting at Crescent Psychiatric Hospital was an adult-only wing, everyone was dressed casually, mostly in street clothes. But a few people were milling around in pajamas, even though it was the middle of the day. Rose, Lily's mother, wasn't in the activity center or any of the common areas. We found her in a room, lying in bed in the fetal position with her eyes open. Her big belly was really showing now. 3 months ago, when she was admitted, we'd found out Rose was 4 months pregnant. She'd been in the midst of a manic episode then, rambling on about all the plans she and the baby's father had. Though as far as I knew, the mystery man who had gotten her pregnant had never shown his face even once to check on her since her admission, and something told me he never would. Rose's eyes acknowledged us as we walked in, but she didn't move.
Mom, how are you?
Lily went to sit down on the bed. She brushed her mom's hair back the same way I'd seen my mom do to my sisters 100 times. Rose mumbled something incoherent. Lily leaned down and kissed her mother's cheek.
Your hair is nice and soft. Did you wash it today?
More incoherent babbling, yet Lily went on like they were having an actual conversation.
Look, Grant's with me.
She pointed to where I stood near the door, and her mom's eyes followed along for a few seconds, but then Rose went right back to staring into space. I wasn't sure what kind of drugs they were giving her, but she was only slightly more alert than catatonic. Or maybe they weren't giving her any. She was pregnant, after all. Lily got up, went around to the other side of the bed, and climbed in behind her mom to snuggle her.
I missed you.
I blinked a few times as the scene before me brought back a flash of a memory. About 6 months ago, Lily had been sad when her mom hadn't called or shown up for their scheduled weekly visit again. After waiting all day on Sunday, Lily had climbed into bed and spent a few days there, lying in the fetal position. I'd thought she was just sulking and sad, and I had done my best to cheer her up, including spending hours snuggled in bed behind her, a lot like she was doing to her mother now. That thought made me antsy. I'm going to go for a walk, give you two some time alone. Lily nodded. I grabbed my jacket and opened the door, but I glanced back over my shoulder one more time before leaving. A fucked up feeling settled into my chest as I thought how much the two of them looked like Lily and me had a while back. Except Lily just had a lot to deal with. She wasn't sick like her mom.
Chapter 15. I was so damn nervous. Grant's boat was only a 20-minute drive from my apartment, but I wanted to pick up something to bring with me, so I left an hour early. The liquor store pit stop only ate up a few minutes, so I arrived at the marina almost a half hour before I was supposed to. I gave my name to the attendant at the booth, and he pointed out one of Grant's assigned spots. I could see down the long dock that led to where his boat was parked. There was a flurry of activity, people coming and going to their boats, and chairs set up where people sat on the dock and chatted with their neighbors. It seemed like a friendly community, and it made me wonder why Grant didn't bring dates down here. His boat was impressive, and the setting was definitely made for romance. I made a mental note to dig deeper into the no dates on the boat zone, and I pulled down the mirror to check my makeup. When I flicked it back up, I saw Grant outside on the back of his boat. He was dressed casually, in a pair of shorts with an untucked short-sleeve button-up and sunglasses. When he hopped over the back transom, I saw he had no shoes on. An older man walked over to talk to him, and it gave me the chance to observe him outside of a work setting. God, he was sexy. I'd always had a thing for a man in a well-fitted suit. The way they wore them gave off an air of power, but looking down the dock, I realized the suit had nothing to do with the air Grant Lexington gave off. He stood casually talking to the gentleman, yet there was something about the way he held himself, his feet planted wide, broad shoulders back, arms folded across his chest. The man oozed confidence, even with bare feet. With some guys, a good suit made the man, not Grant. He made the suit. I watched for a few minutes more while he finished his conversation with the man. Then he tightened some ropes and carried out a set of portable stairs and set them on the dock. The next time he went into the cabin, I took a deep breath and got out of the car. His boat was docked next to last, probably 30 boats down at the far end of the marina. I'd made it about 10 when he emerged from the cabin again. He caught sight of me right away and stood watching me make my way toward him. I became self-conscious about each step, and whatever nerves had settled in the car came back with a roar, though I wouldn't let him see me stress. So I straightened my spine and added a little bounce to my walk that I knew would make the bottom of my sundress shimmy from side to side. "Hey." I stood on the dock next to the boat, and Grant offered a hand so I could board using the stairs he'd set out. "Well, these certainly make it easier, especially in these wedges." Grant didn't let go of my hand once I was safely on board. "Had to dust off those stairs. Never use them." "I could have climbed on like we did the other night. You didn't have to dig them out. Sorry if I'm a little early. I wasn't sure how long it would take to get here, and I wanted to stop and pick this up." I handed him the bottle of wine. "Thank you. I was wondering how long you were going to sit in the car and watch me." My eyes widened. Shit. He'd seen me. "I wasn't checking you out, if that's what you think. I was just really early and didn't want to impose." He pushed his sunglasses down on his nose so I could see his eyes. "That's too bad. You're welcome to check me out whenever you want. It would only be fair, since I won't be able to stop looking at you in that dress." I'd changed 3 times and settled on a spaghetti strap white and navy sundress with a V-neck. It showed off more cleavage than I normally put on display, but my roommate had talked me into wearing it. Now I was glad I'd listened. "Come on, I'll give you the tour and open the wine." I followed Grant into the cabin. We'd stayed outside the other night with his grandfather, so it was the first time I was seeing the inside and where he lived. The room we entered was a big living room. It had a wraparound couch, 2 matching chairs, a long credenza, and a big screen television. The living room I shared with Mia was probably the same size. "It's easy to forget you're on a boat in here, isn't it?" He pointed to the wall-to-wall windows. "There are 2 different shades that come down. One blocks out some of the sun and keeps it cool, but you can still see outside through them. And the other totally blacks out the outside. You can't tell if it's day or night when those are down, much less where you are." I followed Grant into the kitchen and was surprised to find it was almost as big as the living room. I don't know why, but I expected a small galley kitchen, not something like this. "It was smaller originally. There used to be a bedroom up here, but I took out the wall and opened it up. I like to cook." I raised a brow. "You cook? Why does that surprise you?" "I don't know. I guess it just seems so domestic. I took you more for the type that went to restaurants and grabbed takeout." "My mom was Italian and cooked a big meal every night. The kitchen was the center of the house growing up. We had foster kids coming and going, and she used cooking to get us all together at least once a day." I smiled. "That's really nice." "I did pick up food tonight on my way home, but not because I can't cook. I was running late, and you didn't want a date, so I figured that meant I shouldn't sneak in a full meal." Grant showed me the rest of the boat, a small bedroom downstairs that he'd turned into an office, a guest bedroom, 2 bathrooms, and then he opened the door to a giant master bedroom. "This is huge." "That's the kind of thing I like to hear in here," he winked. I took a few steps in and looked around. The room had dark wood and a king-size bed with plush navy linens. One of the walls was covered in black and white photos of boats sailing on the water with matte black frames. I walked over and looked at some of them. "These are beautiful. Did you take them?" "No. They're all the different models my grandfather built over the years. The photos are all of the prototypes taking their first sail." I pointed to the one in the center. "Is this boat?" Grant stood close behind me, close enough that I felt the heat emanating from his body.
It is. That was taken in 1965.
Crazy. I can't get over how old this boat is. If you told me it was a year old, I'd believe it.
That's what people loved about his models. They have a timeless quality about them.
I looked closer at the photo. There's no name on the back yet.
The showroom samples and prototypes were never named. It's bad luck to change a boat's name, so it was up to the first owner to name her.
I turned around, and suddenly the big room seemed much smaller. Grant didn't back up. Her? Is a boat always a her? He nodded.
Pops would say sailors of the past were almost always men, and often dedicated their ships to goddesses who would protect their vessel in rough seas.
Grant brushed a hair from my shoulder.
But I think they're women because they're high maintenance.
High maintenance, huh? Well, you live on a boat, so you must not mind high maintenance then. His eyes dropped to my lips, and he smirked.
Apparently, high maintenance is my type. Easy is boring.
I thought he was going to lean in and kiss me, and in the moment, I would have let him. But instead, his eyes caught my gaze.
Come on. I promised you a drink and a sunset.
We went out to the front of the boat, and Grant set up a tray of all different finger foods he'd bought at the Italian market. It was enough food for 3 meals. Do you always buy enough for 10 people? I'm sensing a pattern here between lunch the other day and all of this.
The pattern is wanting to make sure you're taken care of, not being wasteful.
I smiled. Are you always this accommodating to your dates?
Considering you're the first woman sitting on my boat for a sunset, I'd have to say no.
I tilted my head. What's your story? You said the other day you haven't had a relationship in 7 years. Is it because you work a lot? Grant seemed to consider his words.
Partly. I do work a lot. Contrary to your initial opinion of me, where you assumed I was a spoiled silver spoon who didn't work, I put in a 10 to 12 hour day at the office most weekdays and a half day on Saturday.
I'm never going to live that email down, am I? He shook his head.
Not likely. I sighed.
Okay, Mr. Workaholic. So let's back up. I asked if you hadn't had a relationship in 7 years because you're busy, and your answer was partly. What's the other part? For some reason, I feel like you're leaving out an important piece of the story. Grant's eyes settled on mine for a few heartbeats, but then he looked away to pick up his wine.
I was married. Been divorced for 7 years.
You must have been married young. Or are you older than you look? He nodded. A few minutes ago, he'd seemed relaxed, but his composure totally changed now. His jaw tightened, he avoided eye contact, and his movements were rigid, as if all the muscles in his body had contracted at once.
I'm 29. Got married at 21.
Even though he looked completely uncomfortable discussing the subject, I pushed a bit more. So you were only married for a year, then? He gulped back his wine.
Almost, yes. A few months less.
Were you high school sweethearts or something?
Sort of. Lily was one of my parents' foster kids for a while. Actually, she came and went a lot over the years.
Though he was answering my questions, he wasn't really offering too much information. I sipped my wine. Can I ask what happened? Did you grow apart or something? Grant was quiet for a moment and then looked me in the eyes.
No, she ruined my life.
Okay, then. He spoke so sternly that it caught me off guard. I had no idea how to respond, though Grant took care of that for me.
Why don't we talk about you? I'm trying to work my way up from drinks to a full-blown date. Dragging out shit about my ex-wife isn't the way to make that happen.
What would you like to know?
I don't know. The game we played in the car on the way home from the fundraiser worked well. Tell me something I don't know about you.
The mood had definitely dampened, and Grant was right. We didn't need to drag all of our skeletons out of the closet the first evening we spent time together. So I said something I thought might tilt the mood back to playful. I love accents. Growing up, every time I heard a new one, I'd study it until I nailed it down. Actually, I still do it from time to time. Grant looked amused.
Let's hear Australian.
I sat up and cleared my throat. Okay, let me think. I tapped my finger to my lip. This is turn on the air conditioner. It's hot in here.
Shut on the air conditioner. It's hot in here.
Grant laughed. That's actually pretty good. How about British? Okay. Here is, I don't often use my cell phone. I cleared my throat again.
I don't often use me mobile.
He chuckled.
Nice.
Your turn. Tell me something about you I don't know. He looked at my lips.
I want to devour your mouth.
I swallowed. I sort of knew that already. Grant kept staring at my lips, and I squirmed. Yet he still didn't lean in and go for a damn kiss. The way he looked at me, I was about 2 seconds away from taking it upon myself to make the first move. But then he looked over my shoulder.
When did that happen?
I blinked a few times. What? He lifted his chin to point behind me.
That?
I turned. The sky was the most amazing shade of orange mixed with deep purple hues. Oh my God, that's incredible. I stood to take in the full view, and Grant stood behind me. We were both silent as we watched the sky light up with color around the setting sun. He snaked a hand around my waist and rested his head on top of mine. I know you said you don't bring dates here, but do you do this often? Appreciate the view, I mean.
I do, actually. I make a point of taking a few minutes every day to watch either the sunset or the sunrise. I run on the beach in the morning and catch it. Or if my day starts early, I make sure I'm back here before sunset.
I leaned my head back against Grant's chest. I like that. He squeezed me closer.
Good. I like this.
Time just got away from us after that. We talked for hours, and before I knew it, it was almost midnight. I yawned.
You're tired.
Yeah, I get up at 3:30.
Want me to drive you home? I can pick you up to get your car in the morning.
I smiled. No, I'm okay to drive still, but I should get going. Grant nodded.
I'll walk you to your car.
He helped me off the boat, and the gold-painted name on the back caught in the dock lights. Leilani May.
Who is the boat named after?
Grant looked away.
No one.
For a businessman, he wasn't a very good liar, but the evening had been so nice that I didn't ruin it by pressing the subject. We walked down the dock hand in hand. And when we got to my car, Grant took my other one, too. He laced his fingers with mine.
So did I pass your test? Do I get an actual date?
I smirked. Maybe.
Good. Then I don't need to be on my best behavior anymore.
Grant let go of my hands and cupped my cheeks. He guided me to take a few steps, and before I realized what was happening, my back was up against my car and he'd planted his lips over mine. I gasped, and he didn't waste the opportunity to dip his tongue inside. His kiss was assertive, yet gentle at the same time. He tilted my head and groaned when the kiss deepened. His desperate sound turned me on almost as much as the feeling of his hard body pressed against mine. My purse fell to the gravel, and my hands wrapped around his back. When I dug my nails into him, he grabbed my ass and lifted me off my feet. We groped each other, my legs locked around his waist as he grinded against me. I could feel how hard he was even through our clothes. When the kiss finally broke, I struggled to catch my breath. Wow. I'd been kissed before, kissed really well even, but no one had ever kissed the shit out of me. My mind was in a fog from it. He smiled and used his thumb to wipe my bottom lip.
God, I wanted to do that so badly all night.
I gave him a goofy grin. I'm glad you waited until we were in the parking lot. Otherwise, I might not have left. Grant pretended to bang his head against my car.
Fuck. Did you have to tell me that?
I giggled. Thank you for sharing your sunset with me. I had a really nice time.
Sunrise is even better. You're welcome to stay tonight and find out in the morning.
I smiled. Maybe another time. It took all of my willpower to pull away from Grant. I'd been teasing, but I was so turned on, I was lucky he'd waited until now to kiss me like that. I brushed my lips with his one more time and opened the car door. He stood watching as I buckled up and turned the ignition. As I put the car into reverse to back out, I rolled down my window. Good night, Grant.
Dinner soon.
I smiled. Maybe.
If you'd told me who the boat was named after, my answer would have definitely been yes.
Chapter 16. 8 years ago. The shower door opened and steam billowed out. I smiled, finding a naked Lily ready to join me. Hey, you feeling better? Lily stepped inside the stall and shut the door behind her. She put both her palms on my chest. Yeah, it must have been the flu or something. The flu. That's what she always called it. Lily seemed to get the flu more and more over the last year, yet the days she spent curled up in bed never came with a cough or fever. Lily was depressed. Of course, she had every right to be. She'd dropped out of college because she hated the non-art classes. Her mom had disappeared into the wind a year ago, taking her 3-year-old brother, Leo, with her, and both of us had taken my mom's death a few months ago pretty hard. But Lily's constant, bedridden bouts of depression seemed more like than just regular depression. She would shut down for days every time her flu hit. She didn't eat, didn't talk, didn't function as a person. And even though she spent almost 24/7 in bed, she rarely slept. She just stared, unfocused, lost in her own head. It scared me. I didn't say it, but more and more lately, her highs and lows reminded me of her mom's, so much so that I'd been pushing her to see a therapist. That discussion always turned her depression into anger, because to her, needing help meant she was like her mom. Lily leaned in and pressed her body against mine. She shut her eyes and looked up at the streaming water as it rained down. A huge smile spread across her face, and I couldn't have stopped the one that broke out of mine if I'd tried. That's the thing with Lily. Her smile was contagious. When she didn't have the flu, she was so full of life and happiness, more so than the average person. The happy times always made me forget about the sad ones, until it happened all over again a few months later. She pushed up on her tippy toes and pressed her lips to mine. The water from overhead streamed down over our joined lips. It tickled, and both of us started to laugh. "I've been thinking about something," she said. I pushed the wet hair from her face and smiled. "I'm hoping you're thinking about bending over and hanging on to that wall behind you." Lily giggled. "I'm serious." I took her hand and slid it between us, down to my erection. "So am I. Can you tell?" She laughed more. "I've been thinking about how much I love you." "Well, I like the sound of that. Go on." "And how much I love living down here with you." My grandfather had given me a boat a few months ago on my 21st birthday, the very first boat he ever built. When Mom died, Lily and I decided to move into it and live down at the marina. It wasn't exactly a traditional home, but my girl wasn't exactly traditional either, and it made her happy. Plus, we spent every weekend sailing and exploring new places together. Since I'd started working for my family's company after graduating college a few months ago, we could pretty much afford to live wherever we wanted. But this boat felt right for us, and it made Lily happy most of the time. "I love living down here with you, too." "So what I was thinking was," Lily looked down and went quiet. I slipped 2 fingers under her chin and tilted her head up so our eyes met. "What's on your mind, Lily? Talk to me." "I was thinking, well," she dropped to her knees. Not the direction I thought she was going, but that sure as shit worked for me. But then she looked up and took my hand and lifted from 2 knees to only 1. My heart beat out of control. "I love you, Grant," she smiled. "Will you marry me?" I pulled her up from the floor. "Get up here. I should be the one down there, not you. I've actually been thinking about us a lot lately, and I would love to marry you." Lily smiled. "But," I said. Her smile wilted. I'd been thinking a lot about having this conversation, though I would have planned it a little better, so we weren't having it naked in this small shower. But this was life with Lily, unpredictable and always an adventure. I'd learned to roll with the punches because of her. I cupped her cheeks. "I want to marry you more than anything. But you've been getting the flu a lot lately, and I really want you to talk to someone. Go see a doctor." The look on Lily's face broke my heart. Any discussion of her needing help sliced straight through her.
She abruptly turned, swung open the shower door, and ran out of the bathroom. "Lily, wait!" I twisted the water off and jumped out of the shower. On my second step, I hit a patch of water she'd left behind, and my foot slipped out from under me. I landed on my ass. "God damn it! Lily, wait!" But it was too late. While I climbed up from the floor, Lily just kept running. She was already up the stairs and outside the cabin before I could even grab a towel and follow her. I emerged on the back deck, still wrapping the towel around my waist, just as she jumped off the boat, buck-ass naked. "Lily!" She ignored me and took off down the dock. When I caught her, I wrapped my arms around her from behind. "Stop. Stop running. We need to talk." Just then, an older couple came out from the cabin of their boat. Their eyes grew wide. I put my hand up and spoke to them. "Sorry, we're leaving. We were just playing a little game and it got out of control. Everything's fine." Realizing what it might look like, that I was holding on to a naked woman who was trying to run away, I spoke to Lily. "Right, babe? Tell the nice couple everything is good." Lily had run out upset and angry, but her mood shifted at the calamity we found ourselves in. She started to laugh. "Naked tag," she yelled to the gawking couple. "I guess I'm it now." We started to crack up. I took the towel from around my waist and wrapped it around Lily's front to cover her up. I kept myself pressed tightly to her back so as to not fully expose myself as we turned back to our boat. I waved as we walked in tandem. "Sorry about that. You have a good day." Once we were back on the boat, we laughed inside the cabin for a solid 5 minutes. This was my Lily, my wild, beautiful, adventurous girl who one minute made me panic and the next had tears of laughter running down my face. I plopped down on the couch and pulled her onto my lap, stripping her of the towel in the process. I took her face in my hands. "I love you, my wild girl. I want to marry you, but I do think you need to see someone." Lily frowned. "I'm not crazy like my mother." "I know that, but do it for me anyway." Lily thought about it, then nodded. "Fine. I'll go see whoever you want. Get me an appointment today." I smiled. "I didn't mean it had to be this minute, but I'll look for someone, okay? Then we can get married." I looked deep into her eyes. "I promise. But give me a little time to do this right." Today was the 7-year anniversary of the day we'd first met. I'd bought a beautiful ring, made reservations at a fancy restaurant, and talked the owner of Lily's favorite art gallery into opening for us privately tonight so I could propose. Everything was going perfect. It had been 3 weeks since Lily's proposal, and a few days ago she'd gone to her first appointment with a therapist. Surprisingly, she'd come home and said she liked the doctor a lot. Yet even though everything was perfect, my palms were sweating like a bitch as the gallery owner slipped out so we could be alone.
"I can't believe you did all this."
"Anything for my girl." We walked around hand in hand, taking our time in front of each painting like Lily loved to do. The day I'd come into the gallery to talk to the owner, I'd walked around and looked at all of the artwork. One in particular caught my eye and solidified that I'd made the right choice to propose. 2 canvases away was a piece titled Promises. It was an abstract of a woman standing at the altar. Only the back of her wedding dress showed, but the focus of the piece was all the flower petals on a white runner along the church aisle. While everything else was black and white, the flower petals were colorful and vibrant. The minute I'd seen it that day, it reminded me of Lily. She was those petals on the floor to me. I knew it was the perfect spot to propose. I took a deep breath as we walked over in front of the painting. Lily's face lit up when she saw it. And just like always, I smiled seeing her smile. While she admired the art, I bent down on one knee. She screeched and covered her mouth when she noticed.
"Yes!"
I chuckled. "I didn't ask anything yet, babe." She knelt, so we were both on one knee.
"Grant."
"Yeah?"
"I have a surprise for you, too."
"What's that?"
"I'm pregnant."
Chapter 17. I'd taken to recording the morning news and watching it at my desk. I had a pile of work stacked up, a shitload of emails waiting for responses, and yet here I was,
sitting at my desk on a Saturday watching yesterday morning show for the second time. Ireland looked good in turquoise. It brought out the color in her eyes, though I didn't get a good look at the full dress because she was always behind that desk. Maybe I should suggest the anchors get up at some point in the show, change things up a bit. Jesus Christ. Was this really what I was doing? Analyzing a woman's wardrobe choices to decide what outfit complements her eyes more? And debating calling down to the director of broadcasting to demand that the anchor stand so I can get a better look at her body? I needed my head fucking examined. Blowing out a stream of hot air, I forced myself to X out of the video recording. I had work to do. Shitloads of it. Before Ireland St. James, I couldn't have even told you the name of the station we owned, much less what anyone wore. To say the woman had me distracted would be an understatement. I picked up a file and started to go through a prospective investment that had been sitting on my desk since last week. But 2 pages into it, my phone buzzed, and though I'd normally ignore it while working, I dug it out of my pocket. Ireland. Thank you for the flowers. I had a good time last night, too. Especially the end part up against my car. She'd included a little winky face at the end of her text. Normally, people who used emojis in their texts pissed me off. Yet I found myself smiling at the little yellow face. I texted back. Grant, dinner tonight? Ireland, can't. I have plans. Since I had plans on Sunday, I texted back suggesting next weekend, but she was busy then, too. An hour later, the text exchange was still bugging me. She has plans. Did she have a date? I'd had drinks with her once, so her having dinner with someone else wasn't exactly off limits. Yet the idea of her going out with another man made me crazy. I forced myself back to work and tried to ignore thoughts of her out with some other guy tonight. But I reread the same page 3 times and still had no idea what the words said. So I tossed the file aside and picked my phone back up. Grant, are your plans tonight a date? The little dots started to jump around and then stopped and started a few times. Ireland, would that upset you? Answering a question with a question was right up there next to how much I disliked emojis. This woman was screwing with me. I didn't play games. I didn't have damn time for games. Which reminded me. I needed to get back to work. I tossed my phone to the side and dug back into the investment prospectus I had been trying to digest. But 20 minutes later, I had my goddamned phone in my hand again. I was completely distracted by just one simple text. I wasn't sure if I was angrier at myself for needing to know her plans or her for not answering my question. Grant, just answer the question. Her response was immediate. Ireland, boy, someone's cranky. I took a deep breath, which did little to help me relax. Grant, that would be because I'm still waiting for an answer to my question. Ireland, is the muscle in your jaw flexing right now? I read her text and looked up at the ceiling. This woman was going to be the death of me, and I was starting to get a headache from how hard I'd been clenching my teeth. So she wasn't wrong about the muscle in my jaw. Grant, Ireland, answer the damn question. My phone started to buzz for a call rather than a text. Ireland's name flashed on the screen. I swiped to answer. Why must you be so difficult? I said in greeting. Ireland laughed, and the sound instantly softened the muscle in my jaw. You're fun to screw with. I leaned back in my chair. I'm much more fun to screw. How about we move on to that phase of the relationship instead of you making me fucking nuts? I could tell she was still smiling when she spoke. I do have a date tonight, but you don't have anything to be worried about because he's married. Come again? She giggled. I have the rehearsal dinner for my best friend Mia's wedding, which is next weekend. My partner in the wedding is her brother who is married to a man. So technically, I guess he's my date tonight. Great. Now I'm jealous of a gay, married man. How about Sunday? She said. I decided to see if turnabout was fair play. Can't. I have a date. Of course, that date was with my grandmother to play Santa Claus at the annual Pia's Place party. She was quiet for a long moment and then said in a curt tone,
Well, if you have a date, you don't need a second one with me.
I smiled. You see how that feels, Ireland? It's not very pleasant, is it? Especially not while I'm trying to get work done. My date tomorrow is with my grandmother.
Oh, next weekend then?
I said. I really didn't want to wait that long. Ireland sighed.
Next weekend is the wedding. Mia and I are going to spend the last night in our apartment together Friday night, and then Saturday is the wedding, and Sunday is a brunch with the wedding party. I don't usually go out on weeknights because I get up so early for work. But maybe we can have an early dinner or something one night.
I'm leaving Monday for a business trip to the East Coast. I'll be gone until Thursday evening.
Oh.
At least she sounded as disappointed as I felt.
Well, maybe the weekend after then. Or maybe, would it be too weird if I asked you to come with me to the rehearsal dinner tonight? Spouses are coming that aren't in the wedding, so it's not just the wedding party.
I'd been thinking of our date as being a nice, quiet evening with just the two of us, not a night with all of her friends at some wedding rehearsal. But waiting 2 weeks to see her was not an option, so I'd have to take what I could get. What time should I pick you up?
Really? You'll come?
Apparently, that's the only way I'm going to get to see you, so yes. But, full disclosure, I'm only coming because I can't wait to push you up against the car again and suck your face. She laughed.
That's fair. How about 6:30?
The rehearsal is at 7 and dinner is right after. They're getting married at the restaurant, so the rehearsal part won't take very long. I'll be there at 6:15 because I won't be waiting until after dinner for my kiss. That evening, my heart started to pump at an almost alarming speed the minute she opened the door. Ireland's hair was pulled back from her face and pinned up. She had on another blue outfit, this one a powder blue, body-hugging dress with a wide, scooped neck that exposed her collarbone. It showed a hint of cleavage, which was sexy as hell, but something about that collarbone made me salivate. I'd teased her on the phone about picking her up early because I intended to get round two of the kiss, but I hadn't planned on mauling her the minute she opened the door. Though you know the old saying about the best laid plans. Ireland smiled and said hello, stepping aside for me to enter, though I only made it halfway through. Backing her up against the open apartment door, I wrapped my hands around her cheeks and planted my lips over hers. She hadn't been expecting it, but it didn't take long for her to join in. She dug her hands into my hair and yanked, and I sucked on her sweet tongue. Reaching down, I cupped the back of her thigh and lifted so I could move closer. Before I knew it, her legs were wrapped around my waist, and I was grinding a growing erection between her legs. If I'd liked her a little less, I would have dropped to my knees and buried my face between her legs for a taste right there against the door. But Ireland deserved more respect than that. So, begrudgingly, I pulled back from the kiss. She blinked a few times, and it made me smile that she seemed as lost in the moment as I had been.
Jeez, that was as good as the first time.
I lifted my thumb to her mouth and wiped some of her smeared lipstick from beneath her bottom lip. I haven't been able to focus on anything but this mouth since you pulled out of the parking lot last night. She smiled.
I love how honest you are.
I brushed my lips against hers again and spoke with them touching. If you like my honesty, there are plenty of things I'd be happy to tell you about. Things I'd like to do to you. She giggled and gave me a playful shove.
Why don't you come in so I can shut the door? I've already been fired for indecent exposure once. I wouldn't want it to happen a second time.
Trust me, if you'd like to prance around naked right now, you most certainly won't be fired. The inside of her apartment was filled with boxes. She pointed to an empty spot on the couch and said,
take a seat wherever you can find one. I just need to grab my purse and freshen up my lipstick now that you're wearing half of it.
I wiped my lips with my thumb.
Take your time.
While Ireland disappeared down the hall, I looked around the apartment a bit. There were a few framed photos on the bookshelf, two of her and another woman, who I assumed might be her roommate, one of Ireland, who looked to be about 7 or 8 with what I guessed was her mother, and another one of her taken recently with an older woman. Ireland came up behind me while I had that one in my hand.
That's my Aunt Opal, my mom's sister. She raised me after my mother died. She's like a mother to me. 3 months ago, she moved down to Florida. It's odd not having her close by anymore.
You two remained close?
She nodded. She has macular degeneration, so she's slowly losing her eyesight. She went to live with her daughter in Sanibel Island. Carly is 12 years older than me. She'd already moved out when her mom took me in when I was 10. But we're close. We text every few days. I'm going down to visit next month.
I was 5 when I moved in with my mother.
Do you mind if I ask what happened that you wound up in foster care?
It wasn't something I spoke about often, but Ireland had been so open about her family history. My mother was 15 when I was born. My father isn't named on my birth certificate and was never in the picture. She had a tough home life of her own, and we bounced around from place to place. Eventually, she got into drugs, and we were living in shelters. One night, she snuck out and never came back. Haven't seen her since. Ireland's hand covered her heart.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
I put down the framed photo.
Don't be.
I was lucky. The first family I was placed with was my parents. I was never bounced around like a lot of kids. I had a good childhood. Pia was the best mom in the world. My dad worked a lot, but he was great too. They're my parents.
Ireland smiled sadly. Yeah, I sort of feel the same way. Even though I have nice memories of my mom, I feel like Opal was my parent. Come with me. I want to show you something.
I followed her into her bedroom, and she pointed to a sign over her bed. No rain, no flowers.
A lot of my mom's death and everything that happened around that time is a blur. But I remember the priest coming to talk to me after her funeral and saying these words when I was crying. Somehow they've stuck with me over the years. Seems appropriate for your history, too.
I looked into her eyes. Fuck me. This woman was something else. I was standing 10 feet away from her bed, and all I wanted to do was wrap her in my arms. The fact that I didn't want to bend her over the bed and fuck her sort of freaked me out a little. I blinked a few times and looked away. It's a beautiful saying. Ireland grabbed a sweater from her closet and a purse from her dresser.
You ready to meet my friends?
I'd prefer to have you all to myself, but I'm ready to head out, if that's what you're asking. She smiled and took my hands.
You want to know a secret?
What's that?
I'm a little afraid to be all alone with you. That's honestly one of the reasons I insisted on drinks rather than a full date.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I sort of don't trust myself with you. You make me nervous. Not in a bad way, if that makes any sense.
I took one of our joined hands and brought it to my lips to kiss her knuckles. It makes a lot of sense. You know why?
Why?
Because you scare the shit out of me, too.
Chapter 18. There you are. Grant had disappeared at some point during the rehearsal. The pastor had stayed after the practice was over, and he'd talked for so long that I couldn't get away to look for my date until now. Sorry. I got a work call and had to take it, so I stepped out. Grant looked away as he spoke. I hadn't known him long enough to really read him, yet it wasn't the first time I'd gotten the distinct feeling he was full of shit. Again, I let it pass. Oh, okay. I lost track of you during the rehearsal. Dinner is about to be served. Grant nodded. Is everything okay? Of course. Just got a little distracted for a moment. His eyes still didn't meet mine. Maybe I was reading too much into things. Even if he hadn't stepped out to take the call and just needed some fresh air, it didn't really matter. I smiled. I'm guessing a wedding rehearsal where you meet all of my friends at once isn't exactly what you had in mind when you asked me for a second date. Grant wrapped an arm around my waist. It wasn't, but I'll take what I can get. I lifted my arms up and around his neck. I never would have thought it, but you're a good sport. I'll have to make it up to you later. Grant's eyes darkened. I like the sound of that. He leaned in and brushed his lips with mine. Our private moment was interrupted by the sound of my best friend's voice. Get a room! I smiled and introduced Grant to the soon-to-be bride. Grant, this is my best friend, Bridezilla, formerly known as Mia. Grant and I separated, and he extended his hand. But Mia wasn't having any of that. She went in for a hug. It's nice to finally meet you, boss man. He chuckled. You too. She hooked her arm with his and started to walk toward the door. Come on, I'll introduce you to everyone and tell you all their secrets so you don't feel like an outsider. Grant laughed, assuming she was kidding, but I knew better. Inside, Mia introduced Grant to 24 people, and when dinner started, she sat down with us instead of Christian, her husband-to-be, who was seated at the other end of the long table. She ate a piece of her salmon and pointed her fork in the direction of our friend Tatiana. She had her boobs done. Grant looked over. His eyes dropped briefly to her enormous boobs, and then he turned back with a chuckle. Not sure that's a secret to too many people. He was absolutely right. Tatiana's implants were each almost as big as my head, and her chin practically rested on them, they sat so high. True. Mia nodded down to the end of the table, to the woman sitting across from Christian. Callie, my soon-to-be sister-in-law, the blonde on my side, sleeps with a teddy bear. She lifted her chin to the table across from us where her dad and his wife were sitting with Christian's parents. My stepmother, Elaine, has a stack of love letters from an old boyfriend she keeps hidden in the attic. Grant raised his brows.
You seem to have something on everyone.
Mia continued around the room, telling funny secrets about almost everyone. When she seemed to be done, Grant looked at me, while speaking to her.
You forgot someone.
Mia bit her lip, like she was considering her options, and leaned over to Grant. She has porn inside the old Disney DVDs in the living room cabinet. She thinks I don't know about it. Mia! My eyes went wide, and I felt my face start to blush. I hadn't realized she knew about that. But the three of us laughed. Of course, the pastor picked that moment to walk over. He put his hand on Mia's shoulder and smiled.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You three look like you're having a good time. I just wanted to say goodnight to the bride-to-be.
Mia told the pastor she'd walk him out, and after he started to walk away, she leaned back to us and whispered, I'll be back with his secret in 10 minutes. Grant chuckled.
I like your friend.
She's crazy, but I'm definitely going to miss her. I've actually never lived alone. I went from my parents' house to my aunt's to a roommate at college and then to sharing an apartment with Mia.
Will you get another roommate?
I had an ad on Craigslist. I've narrowed it down to 2 men.
Men?
Yes. Jacques is a French underwear model living in the States for a year, and Marco is a fireman. The look on Grant's face was so serious, I couldn't keep it going any longer. I started to crack up. I'm teasing. You should see your face, though. He narrowed his eyes.
Very cute.
I'm actually really excited to live on my own. I told you I'm building a house. It's not much, but I love the area. It's a new development. The whole community is built around a big, beautiful lake, though my plot isn't lakefront because those parcels were almost 4 times the price. But I love how woodsy they're keeping it and how far apart the houses are going to be. It feels like a serene vacation place. When I first bought the land, I had an architect do the blueprints for my dream house. Then I had some estimates done on building it, and I realized I'd dreamed too big and needed to scale back. So it's much smaller now, but I can't wait until it's done. It's about 60% there. He smiled.
That's great. I'd love to see it.
I like to drive over to the property every once in a while and check it out. Maybe next time you can take the ride with me, and I'll show you the lake and give you a tour of my half-built house.
I'd like that.
2 hours later, Grant drove me home and parked in front of my apartment building. Thank you for coming with me, I told him. I know it wasn't an ideal date, but I enjoyed it anyway.
I did too.
I definitely wasn't ready for him to leave. Do you want to come in? Grant looked me in the eyes.
You have no idea how much I do.
I smiled, but as we got out of the car and made our way up the elevator, I became extremely anxious. When I went to put the key in the lock, Grant noticed my hand shaking.
Are you cold?
I shook my head. Nervous, I guess. I'm really attracted to you, and I like you, but I'm not ready to have you spend the night. I don't want you to get the wrong idea because I invited you in. Grant turned me around and put 2 fingers under my chin, lifting so I looked him in the eyes.
The choice is always yours. We can take it as slow as you want.
My shoulders relaxed, and I exhaled. Thank you. I felt much calmer after that. Inside, I went to my room to change and left Grant opening a bottle of wine. When I came back out, he was standing in the living room with a glass of wine in one hand and Beauty and the Beast in the other. He arched a brow. She wasn't joking. I felt the heat on my face and snatched the box from his hand. I went through a dry spell. Don't tell me you've never watched porn. He grinned.
Of course I have. I just don't store mine in Disney DVDs.
I laughed, took the wine out of his hand, and guzzled half of it in one gulp. As long as we were on the subject, I figured I might as well see what types of things he liked to watch. Lord knows I'd found I had a bit of a fetish. Is your collection specific to any type of porn? Grant squinted.
Are you asking me if I like to role play or have any fetishes?
I guess. I just found certain things worked for me, while others didn't. He took the wine glass from my hand and drank the other half.
I'm not particular, but now I'm desperate to know what you're into.
I let out a nervous laugh and took the empty glass from his hand. I need more wine for this conversation. After I refilled, I led Grant over to the couch. Can you just pretend you didn't open Beauty and the Beast? Grant shook his head with a wicked grin as he lifted my feet onto his lap. He began rubbing.
Not a chance, sweetheart. Spill it. What's your kink?
It's not really a kink.
So let's hear it.
Or do I need to unveil your full Disney collection and figure it out for myself right now? I drank a little more liquid courage. I found that I sort of like videos where the woman is pleasuring the man. Grant stopped rubbing.
You like to watch a woman give head?
It was the new millennium. I shouldn't be embarrassed by anything that empowered me sexually, yet I bit my lip and nodded.
Jesus Christ, Grant grumbled. You're fucking perfect. How the hell did you ever have a dry spell?
I laughed. My dry spell was self-imposed. I have a pattern. I pick an asshole to date, then I blame it on the entire sex and take a long hiatus.
You're sitting here with me. Does that mean I'm an asshole?
I sipped my drink.
I don't know, are you?
His playful smile wilted.
I can be, but I don't want to be to you.
It doesn't take Sigmund Freud to figure out where my issues come from. I have some serious trust issues, Grant. My dad used to accuse my mom of cheating all the time. I'll never know if there was any truth to his accusations. I like to believe there wasn't, and he was just irrational and unstable. But that's what they always fought about, and were fighting about the night he ended her life. When he panicked and took off, he left me handcuffed to a radiator where no one found me for 2 days. And yet I still have a tendency to be attracted to dominating asshole men.
And you see me as one of those?
I shrugged. I don't now, though I never see it at first. I like confident men, ones who are assertive and exude a certain kind of energy. You definitely fit that bill. But in my experience, the men with the take-charge personality I find so attractive don't necessarily make the best partners. The last guy I dated was really controlling. He didn't like me hanging out with my friends, and when I did, he'd check up on me. When I told him to back off, he had a way of making me feel guilty for wanting my own space. Grant took my hand.
I'm sorry. We all have past relationships that carry into how we deal with things in the future.
You know how I finally decided it was time to get rid of Scott, my ex?
How?
Without even realizing it, I'd started to click my pen.
And that means...
Scott had a pet peeve. He hated when anyone clicked their pens. Grant squinted.
You said Bickman hated foot tapping and heavy perfume, and you used to do those things to secretly annoy him.
I smiled. Bingo. I was unconsciously doing things to annoy him. That's not a sign that screams stable relationship, so I broke things off.
I'll have to remember that. When you type at me in all caps, I'll know what it means.
I laughed. Is that your pet peeve? Not sure you should have shared that with me. Grant smiled.
You have a wicked side, St. James.
I felt like I'd shared a lot of my past, yet I didn't know too much about his. At least not the important stuff. I knew he was adopted from foster care, but but I got the feeling his baggage didn't come from that.
Can I ask what happened between you and your ex-wife?
Grant's jaw flexed. He looked away for a minute and then stared down when he finally started to speak.
Lily had a similar background to me, an unstable mother with no father in the picture, except her mother was mentally ill, not an addict like mine. When we first met, I was attracted to her because of how different she was than everyone else. I didn't know back then that mental illness was hereditary. I thought she was spontaneous and wild, and for a long time she was. But slowly, over time, the highs she ran on started to spiral into lows. There was no middle ground with her.
I'd learned a lot about mental disorders over the years. A part of me always wanted to believe there was something wrong with my father. I wanted to blame what he'd done on anything but him, because it would be easier to accept that he'd killed my mother if it wasn't his fault. So I knew bipolar disorder and other depression-related illnesses often started in a person's 20s.
I'm sorry. That's tough.
Grant was quiet for a moment, and then looked up at me.
Thank you. Like you said, it doesn't take Freud to figure out why I haven't had many healthy relationships with women since then. I didn't lie. I made a point of making sure they understood I wasn't looking for love. I guess we both have trust issues.
I nodded. I appreciate your honesty. But is that what you want from me, too? I'm incredibly attracted to you. I might be okay with a sex-only relationship if that's all you truly want. Though I could also see myself falling for you, Grant. So I'd appreciate you being upfront about what you're looking for. He tugged my hand and guided me to move from sitting next to him to sitting on his lap. He cradled my face between his hands and spoke into my eyes.
I want more with you, but I'm not sure what I'm capable of, Ireland. I won't promise you something I'm uncertain I can deliver, yet I'd like to try to make this work.
His words weighed heavy on my chest. It made me sad for him that he seemed to think he was incapable of love. I forced a smile. Thank you for your honesty. I guess every relationship has a risk to it, so we'll just take it one day at a time and see where it goes. Grant nodded, though he didn't seem too sure of himself.
How did we get from porn to our fucked up lives? I asked.
He smiled.
I don't know, but I'd definitely prefer to go back to talking about how you like to watch a woman give head.
I play-smacked his chest.
Of course you would.
Grant crooked his finger at me.
Come here.
I'd been sitting on his lap and now lifted one leg to straddle him. Settling, I moved my face close enough that our noses were touching.
Where? Here?
He gripped the back of my neck and spoke with his lips pressed to mine.
Right here. Exactly right here.
We made out like two horny teenagers after that. When our kiss broke, he tugged my hair to expose my throat and buried his face in my neck. He kissed and licked and bit his way up to my ear.
Tell me, Ireland, is it just women you like to see give oral? Because I can't wait to bury my face between your legs and have you watch me lick you.
Oh, God. I loved the sound of that. My body was already on fire from this kiss, and I could feel his erection pushing against my swollen clit. I might only have to move back and forth a few times to get myself off if he kept talking like that in my ear. I was this close to doing just that, until a voice interrupted the moment.
This looks better than the one I watched in Aladdin. Think I'll make some popcorn.
I jumped at the sound of Mia's voice. Literally, I jumped off Grant's lap, into the air, and landed on my ass on the floor. I rubbed my backside.
Jesus, Mia, you scared the crap out of me.
She chuckled.
I wasn't quiet when I came in. You were just too engrossed in what you were doing.
She waved her hand at us.
Carry on. Pretend I'm not here. I'm going to bed anyway.
Grant extended a hand and helped me from the floor. I assumed you were sleeping at Christian's, I said.
Nah, I'm making him stay celibate for the 2 weeks before our wedding.
I laughed. Poor Christian, a bridezilla that won't put out. Mia stuck her tongue out at me.
Good night, lovebirds.
Once she was gone, I sat back down on the couch next to Grant.
Sorry about that.
It's fine.
probably a good thing she walked in. You want to take it slow, and between the way you looked tonight in that dress, knowing you have a porn collection and that kiss, I wouldn't have been able to control myself much longer. I think that was my cue to get going. I wanted to tell him to stay in the worst way,